Welcome to the National AA Technology Workshop 2019 presentation held in Bowling Green, Kentucky on Friday at 7:45 p.m. This is a birds of a feather topic submitted called Answering the Call. The theme of this year's workshop is connection. All session audio is being recorded and will be made available to registered NAATW members through our website behind a login. Please help us honor our tradition of anonymity by using first names only. Anonymity breaks will be scrubbed during audio post-processing, but you can help with that process. When you hear a full name during the session, please write down the time and room where this occurred and share this with the taper immediately after the session, or even better, drop the information into the workshop Slack channel. My name is Alex, and I am an alcoholic. Thank you. Let's start out with a moment of silence to do with as you wish. Thank you. So I'm going to immediately introduce Robert, who submitted this topic.
Hi, my name's Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Bob. Or Robert, whatever. So about 2 years ago, I was told by my sponsor to volunteer at the Tri-County Intergroup. And so I did, and I do their website work, and the other things they were doing is they were using a phone system and an answering service that they were paying for to take phone calls. And then the answering service at night would take the calls. And then the next morning or whatever, when they came in, then they would have all the calls that were there and they would call them back. So it could be a while before anybody got back to the alcoholic. So I said, well, why aren't you guys they said they were going to get rid of their phone or they wanted to do something different. It was costing about $150 a month. And I said, well, why aren't you using voice over IP and just do a VoIP phone and you can take it to your house or whatever? And they said, what's that? And I was like, well, that's 1998 or so when we started doing it. And so I suggested that they do that. At first, we were thinking about extensions that we would use on that, whether it was literature or whatever they were calling. And then my sponsor, who's got tons of wisdom, said this should be just about getting to the alcoholic, and that they can, when business, they can contact our other business lines. So what I wound up working out was a setup in which we can add a bunch of users to the system, and when the phone call comes in, it goes immediately in a round-robin fashion to a list of possible users. So we've got X list of users, we got a Y list of people who are actually accepted doing the calls, or he's authorized to take the calls. So now when anybody calls the hotline looking for alcoholic help, they get an alcoholic, not the answering service, not anybody else. So it'll go down through, let's say we got eight people and it goes down through all eight people. If it gets to the eighth person, no one answers, then it does go to an answering machine. It's recorded, and then those messages are sent to all eight people who are on the list. So they all get a copy of it via email that says what the message was, and you can call them right back. And I often do call them back. So we're Tri-County. We handle districts 14, 19, and 20 in St. Charles, Missouri. And I got a call from someone in District 13, and they're handling the phones they're handling the phones by having a cell phone, and it's forwarded to the cell phone, and then everybody takes a cell phone, and whoever's got it the next day takes it on. And so they said, well, how much would it be if we used your service? And if they actually used my service, it would be, you know, if I got them another, not mine, but this company, if they got a web phone from them, it would cost them $50-something a month. Well, they're paying $100 a year for this little flip phone. So they're like, that won't work for us. And I said, so I talked to the guy at Web Phones and I go, well, how much if I added a phone number to this because then I could add, if I add another phone number to this, and he said that's $2 a month. Well, now that's only $100 a year. So they could easily afford it, and I could put them, I could put more users in, create a second list, and that's what would happen to there. But then I got to thinking about it, and I said, that's really, we're tri-county, we're 14, 19, and 20. And I said, this really needs to go up to eastern area Missouri, and they need to take that on and then provide that those phone lines to, or those numbers. And you can port your own number, you can get a new number. And what's real important there is that when somebody calls Tri-County, they get a Tri-County person. They don't get somebody who's down in, you know, Kentucky or Chicago or any place else. They're getting it from somebody local. Like Saturday, I had somebody call in, and they came up with reasons why they couldn't go find their own meeting on their own or that. They didn't want to use a website. And so I said, I'm coming to pick you up. So, and that's just the way it rolled. And so I would not want to get to the point where the area is too wide, where you're having people answer the call that aren't in the area. So that's pretty much where I'm at with it.
Thank you. Okay. So the way Birds of a Feather have worked in the past is that someone sort of opens the sharing and shares what their experience is with using a system, with a technology, with using something. And then we get questions or other people share their experience. How many people are kind of lost as to what we're talking about here? So we all know that, you know, we want our phones to be answered, right? Okay. Alcoholic calls, we want an alcoholic to pick up the phone and say, you know, I'm going to help you, right? I'll share a bit of my personal experience with this in Washington, D.C. We have a phone number, and it comes to our office, our central office, our intergroup. And it rings physically in the office on landline phones. And, you know, that's the alcoholic is there, and they pick up the phone, and it's staffed from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. There's four shifts a day. And if somebody doesn't make a shift, the office manager covers. You know, I'm sure this is very familiar to you all. It sounds just like everything that you folks are doing. So if that sounds familiar, raise your hand. Okay, is that about what you guys are doing? Okay. The other side of that is voice over IP or VoIP. How many people are familiar with VoIP? Okay, more people than I thought. That's great. So we tried to go to VoIP. I brought it up maybe 2 years ago. It was after the last technology workshop. And I sort of passed it off to the office committee. And I said, okay, office committee, take this on. And they got through the selection of the service. They got through the establishing of an account. And they got through starting to pay for the service as well. We got that free 30 days. You know, AA doesn't do anything in 30 days. So we had all that set up, but they just didn't take it any further. And I, as a member of the office committee, didn't push them, didn't come back, didn't kind of sell this. And it just didn't go anywhere because it needs a lot of structure behind it. It sounds like you have set up the structure, and that's terrific, whereas we have phone numbers and it forwards to other people's VoIP accounts, things like that. That's what we didn't do. We didn't establish that structure. And we had an AA member come into the committee and slam his fist on the table and scream, you've done too much, you haven't done anything, you've spent too much money, you've got to stop this right now. And he was able to establish enough support that we just canceled the VoIP account and we went back to a landline. It was a failure on my part of pushing to have the trusted servants do the organization that needed to be done, but at some point I should have stepped in and just sort of gotten it done and pushed it over the finish line. I'll be honest to say that we may even still be paying over $450 a month for our phones, which is insane, which is exactly just super insane. The end of the committee meeting was that they were going to assign the office committee to find us a cheaper phone system that didn't require all this fancy setup and things like that. And that hasn't happened. You know, they negotiated a discount rate with Verizon because Verizon didn't want to lose us as a customer, So now we're paying like $350 a month. So it was a real shame that this didn't launch, but I think that my experience can benefit others to say that if you do decide to go this way, you have to have good trusted servants who will participate in the selection and systems establishment and things like that to get it over the finish line. So thank you for letting me share. Oh, between 10 p.m. and 10 a.m., it is forwarded to a personal phone. So that's through the question was, what do you do between 10 p.m. and 10 a.m.? It is forwarded through the Verizon phone system to a single phone. So they could forward it to my phone right now, and it would just ring on my phone overnight. We have a night watch committee who establishes slots and has a person selected for each slot. And the person who is currently on the phones forwards it to the next person's phone, and they know who that is. But there's no real handoff, because it's the middle of the night, and people don't want to bother the next person. But the whole point is that you bother the next person to make sure that they're going to pick up the phone. But that's the night watch committee, and I'm not going to get into their, you know, their situation. But that's the... Yeah, well, that's the idea, that we hand it off in the middle of the night, that we make sure that someone's going to answer the phone. Well, at 10 o'clock, and then there's a midnight shift, and then there's a 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. shift, yeah. Yeah, it's three different shifts. But that's the Night Watch committee, and that's how they have handled it for decades, probably, you know, since the phone was invented. Okay, so who would like to share next?
Hi, I'm Chris from Atlanta Intergroup. So we have a hotline as well. We have over 200 shifts. So the way it works for us is we have intergroup and they have phone lines. And during the day, I think from 9:30 to 4:30 during weekdays, except for holidays, there's a volunteer that's in the office that answers the phone. But after that time, then from when the office closes until the next morning, we carve up 2 to 3 hour blocks and assign volunteers to the blocks. So I just took over. So we actually have a little bit of an advantage in that we have a hotline chair position, which is the position I was given. I said it's too much work for me to do by myself, so I elected a co-chair. And we've worked on, so whenever we first picked this up, we're still using an answering service that answers the phone first whenever the central office is closed. And then there's a schedule of the various shifts that we maintain, and we send the schedule on a monthly basis to the answering service, and then they actually answer the phone first, and they know who's on call, and they call that person. And whenever we first got involved, we were having issues with people not answering the call. So we established backups so that if the first person doesn't call, the second person can receive the call. And we're having issues with that too. So we recently used Twilio, which is a text messaging service. So we're now sending text messages to tell people your shift's about to start. But I'd love to get to where you guys are, actually, where we're cutting kind of the answering service out of the deal, because we pay over $500 a month for that service. It's kind of expensive. The advantage of having it is whenever someone calls, bam, within seconds, someone says, this is AA, you know, hang on while I get a volunteer on the line for you. Or if they have an emergency, they tell them to call 911 or whatever. So you get that immediate response. Because, you know, sometimes people are, I don't know, driving their kids to a soccer game or whatever, even though they're on call, they can't answer right away. So the answering service will call the volunteer and say, are you available to take the call? And they can say, I need 2 minutes or something. And then they can keep the person on the line. So the reason I'm here is I think we can do better. I think that managing all these shifts and all these people and having people do 2 or 3 hours and they take their commitment every other week. So it's tough to remember that, you know, my shift is every other Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30 or something like that, which is why the texts are helping. I think it would make more sense to have a pool of volunteers and have people check in when they're available and then just send the call to whoever's, you know, on call, like a round robin type fashion, and maybe eventually get rid of the answering service. So I was really curious to see what other intergroups were doing about this. Thanks.
Thank you. Do we really need a mic? Well, we're recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to go that far.
I'm Cindy Alcoholic from Area 31, Western Mass. We have a system that works pretty well. At the intergroup meeting, groups sign up that they're going to take telephone coverage. They take coverage for a week, and then when you go to back to your home group, the office only is there like in the morning usually, or maybe one day a week later, and they answer when they're there. And people sign up for a shift. It's either like 7 to 7 or 1 to 7, depending if the office is going to be there. And then individuals sign up for each group, and then we take the commitment. And sometimes there's a problem with getting enough groups to sign up, but so far it's worked out okay. And sometimes individuals aren't as reliable as they could be. But it's been working for years that way, and it's pretty simple. The advantage with the answering service, in my opinion, is they can field informational calls. They don't have to, which is the majority of the calls. You know, if they just want to know meetings, the answering service has that information. If somebody really wants to talk to an alcoholic, then they just call. They have, they submit the list a week or two ahead of time. They call whoever's on the list for that particular time. That person knows they have that commitment for the whole night or the whole day. And, they're as liable as any alcoholic could be, but it's pretty simple, and I don't really know what we pay, but I know it's not a lot because our intergroup office manager really is obsessed with not paying a lot for anything. And I'll pass with that. If anybody has questions, it works very well.
Thank you, Cindy.
How's it going? I'm Ray, an alcoholic, currently privileged to serve as the intergroup chair for Rockland County, New York, the smallest county in New York. I totally know where you're coming from. We have the exact same experience. We're paying like almost $600 a month for a service that sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's not so okay. But again, it's a non-alcoholic answers the phone and then dials whoever's on call. We also have a similar setup as you, that it, groups have a rotation that's set up a year in advance, and then individuals from the group sign up for time slots. The answering service chair, which I've previously served as, then enters it into an online portal with our service, and then they direct call. We get that issue with people not answering the phone. So we'll also likewise set up a backups, which eventually end up going back to the answering service chair. So when I served in that role, I was getting calls every few hours for 72 hours straight. But again, our primary thing was when I was in the position, we did try to search out a new platform. And we tried to go with VoIP. There was a company that I had had experience with that I had set up for a company that I had worked for. So I reached out to them, told them what our needs. Salesperson was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. We can do that. We can do that. We can do that. Yeah. And we didn't get to the point of paying because I was the point man. So I was trying to do the configurations. I got to a point of, wait, how do I do this? So I called tech support. And they immediately were like, what are you talking about? We can't do that. Yeah. So I immediately canceled the service, but that was 6 months of planning and getting the body to vote and fund it and do this and everything else. So we're kind of back at square one, and it's already handed off to the next person. I did want to ask the first gentleman, you never told us what service you're using.
My name is Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm using web phones, WEBFONES. Phones. Yeah, it's a funky little play there. Anyway, I did want to say a few other things, and get to me directly. I don't want to use the guy's name, his phone number without his permission. So, I mean, he is a company, but whatever. We did have a 12-step call list guy, committee chair, and I was new to AA when I set this up, and a lot of people were like, well, we don't trust him, and I wouldn't have trusted me now that I know where I'm at today. So, but what they wound up doing was putting my sponsor in charge of it, who's got 27 years, and he's also a curmudgeon, and he's kind of a Luddite. He's not really a guy that likes technology.
So I set it up. So I set the software up, and actually I called the support, and I said, hey, this is what I want to do. And they basically told me how to, I added some users, and then they set it all up. I didn't do anything. I told them how I wanted it to function, and then they set it all up. We could have a hard line, and we could have that, or not a hard line, but a actual device. We don't have any actual phone in existence. It all just goes to a cell phone, everybody's cell phone. But you could have a phone there, and if no one answered it, then it would go to the cell phones. If someone answers it, then they would answer and reply however they're going to. So that was the other thing there. And then we have groups. All those are set up into the system in a database where you have all the person's names and numbers. And I was going to set it up so that it was 6 to 2, 2 to 8, whatever, all the way around the clock, 8-hour shifts, and plug people into shifts. And my sponsor was like, I can't do all that. I'm just going to do one list, and I'll keep it down to just people who I know are sober and can answer. So that's how he runs it. But the next person, and this is, I think this is important in AA, is the next person comes in, and he can use the people he wants to answer the phone. And that spirit of rotation and that local flavor, I think that's all important. So I would highly recommend the system that we use. We've enjoyed it immensely over the past 2 years, and can't see any reason why we would switch. The price is right. He gave us an AA friendly price, nonprofit price. So that's all I got.
Tim, alcoholic. I guess my question is: has anybody tried using Google, where you can get a phone number, and then you can have that set up to go to a cell phone? And I think you can change the cell phone. I don't know how often. I don't know how long it takes.
This is Chris from Atlanta. I can answer that. We actually use the Google Voice for the hotline chair number because we share the co-chair. The thing with that, you can go in and change the number, but you have to verify the number each time you change it. So if you're rotating it between 5 or 6 people, it's just not feasible. Like one, you can put 1 or 2 numbers in there, that's fine, but you know, a whole list of numbers isn't easy to do.
Okay, we'd love to hear everybody's experience. I mean, if anybody else feels like they want to share what they're currently doing. And just to, I'm sort of trying to take some notes here of just things that are pertinent and interesting. You know, let me know if there's anything you want me to take notes about, and we'll make sure this is available to everyone after.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm also a staff assistant at the Southeastern Pennsylvania Intergroup. We have an extensive phone system. We have a whole committee to manage it called Interphones, and we currently use Comcast VoiceEdge. It's a VoIP system. It works pretty well, and it actually works very well. We have about 150 volunteers who have signed up to take these calls, and we have, I wrote them down so I'd remember it, we have 4 shifts on the weekdays and 5 on the weekends. During office hours, when our office is open, that's Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, the staff answers the phones, and if we have volunteers in, they will answer as well. And now when the office is closed, we turn the phones over, as we call it, and we go down a list Comcast provides on their website. We turn on whoever has signed up for that time slot. It's usually 5 people per time slot. And it rings to all the phones, and whoever gets to it first gets the call. And if the calls are missed, they go back to the office manager's answering machine at work, and we pick them up the next morning. And there's usually 1 or 2 waiting every day. But generally, it works well. And our shifts are 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, then 5 to 9, 9 p.m. to midnight, and then midnight to 9 a.m. And then on the weekends, there's extra shifts. There's a Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. So you're not taking up someone's whole day answering the phones. And like I said, it works really well, so I thought I'd come by and share this experience with you. But our contract is going to be up with Comcast, and trying to be good stewards of our fellowship's money, we are always looking into maybe better and cheaper ways to do the same thing. So I appreciate all this discussion. Yes? That I don't know, but I can find out for you.
What part did Interphones play? Like, did they come in and set up your whole system as you wanted it to, and you paid them for that?
Was it volunteers that set it up?
I actually don't know who set it up. I think Comcast set it up. We contracted with them, and they came in. But as for the whole structure, how it got set up, I don't know. It existed when I got there, but I can find out more about it and let you know who had what role. So, you know, whereas the office, we're pretty much hands-off with it. Interphones does it all. But the decision about what to switch, you know, we're looking into it, just gathering information. Anyone else?
Hey there, I'm David from Area 49, Suffolk County, Long Island, and proud to say we probably have one of the most backward systems around. Now, people are actually quite proud that we don't have an answering machine, an answering service, and I think part of the reason is they want to keep the cost down, but also they really do want an alcoholic to be answering the phone. So we have two lists, basically, a list of the people that actually answer the phone, and then we have a binder full of numbers that if somebody actually needs to talk to an alcoholic as in a 12-step call, then it's that person's job to take the caller's number down and then go down the list to find somebody who's available to call that person back. But it's time intensive for the person doing the calling back and forth. And we actually have two 12-hour shifts per day, so we have 14 shifts per week. And it's just difficult to find people that are willing to take 12-hour shifts. But this is a system that's in place, and I doubt that it's gonna be able to change it. We're gonna be able to change it very easily. But I am interested in finding some technology that allows, you know, a schedule of phone numbers, so the phones are automatically switched. And I really haven't heard that. I think the web phones was the closest thing I heard to something like that. But it sounded like it was a list of numbers that was being called round robin. Is that right? Not at this particular time, the phones would automatically be switched to a particular phone. You can do that as well.
It's just based on what my sponsor is more driven, or whoever's running the 12-step call list right now, wants it run a certain way. He's got a certain set of people that he feels comfortable with answering the phone, and so he runs that 24 hours, that same list. But he could set it up so that he had
three different groups of people. And so from 9 to 5, it could be answered by the office. Then as soon as 5 o'clock hits, it's no longer answered by the office. It's answered by Group A. And then at 10 o'clock, it's answered by Group B and so forth. And you could even have, they have lots of different schedules. It gets complicated if you want to get complicated. But we wanted to keep it as simple as possible. And like you, we wanted an alcoholic answering. We didn't want the answering service. And do I get some informational calls? Yeah, but most of the calls that we get are, it's an alcoholic wanting help, or it's a family member wanting help for an alcoholic. I'll say 2/3 of them are that. But that doesn't mean I can't help them in some kind of way, get them to the right people. We also have a list of all the other helpful numbers, Al-Anon, hospitals, all sorts of other stuff. There's a lot that we don't refer them to. Like, we won't say go to this treatment center or whatever, but we say we have a list of treatment centers. If you want to come down to the office and pick those up, you can get those. But we don't personally, you know, it's all individually driven by each alcoholic, and each alcoholic handles everybody a little different. Leave it up to God, too. So.
Hey, this is Chris again. I just want to address something you brought up about. So we have the people that answer the phone. They usually will look up meetings and things like that. But if anyone wants a longer conversation, we have a 12-step list, which is similar to your list. But we have it in Google Sheets online, shared, so that everybody has a link to it. You don't have to pass the binder around. You just, you know, give whoever it is that is on the schedule a link, and they go and they can see it online. But we have the same problem you do, where it's very time-consuming because you've got a list of, you know, it's sorted by area and whatnot, but, you know, you might have to call 10 people before someone answers. And because they're different volunteers, they're calling from their phone numbers. The person you're calling doesn't recognize the phone number. And with all the spam calls, a lot of people just don't answer. So we're trying to look for something there, too. We were thinking about, we are already using Twilio for text messaging. So we're thinking about maybe, like, you'd go somewhere and you click something and it'll send texts out to the 12-step volunteers in the area saying, hey, we need someone, you know, instead of having to call manually, something like that. I was hoping maybe somebody had an idea or had figured that one out yet.
So this is Alex again. So the one place that we have made some improvement is not in our actual call taking, sending, receiving area, but in the structure that sort of takes the call. And I wanted to maybe move the conversation a little closer to what you just brought up, which is who takes what call and how. And I guess when the phone rings, it could be any number of a couple groups. We could have an AA looking for help, or a future AA, we could say. You can have a family member. You can have somebody just looking for a meeting. You can have a public institution. You can have a bridging the gap call. For some of these, what we've decided is that if it is a specific type of call and people have signed up to receive this specific type of call, which is birds of a feather, or not, bridging the gap, excuse me, that there's a text list, and we used Google Voice so that the desk account that is in the office has a Google Voice account. And instead of calling all of these people from a phone that is the office phone or calling from a personal cell phone, you text the person saying, we just received this call, it's a bridging the gap call, you're on the Bridging the Gap list, will you take it? And then they text back to through the Google Voice number saying that yes, they will, or no, they won't. And we're trying to expand that, but the question that we've come up with is who takes what call? Because the volume of calls have sunk to the point where the office volunteer who's sitting there, you know, they get a phone call of a person who is at their wit's end, they're ready to stop drinking. You know, do they 12-step to the person? Do they take the call and they walk through the steps and they say, this is what the program's about, and okay, let's meet, let's go to a meeting. And half our fellowship says yes. They're like, yeah, just have the person who answers the phone take the call. You know, why go another step? Why have to get a group involved? And then a whole lot of other people are like, no, that person's got to be ready to take the next call. You know, or that person, you know, may not have all the skills to 12-step that person. Or 12-stepping doesn't belong on the phone. You know, there's all these excuses to say, no, that person who answers the phone shouldn't 12-step the person. We've got to hand it off to the card box, to the binder, or whatever it is. So I'm really interested in people's experiences there as well, of how do you get your committees, you know, to decide who takes what call, how are calls handled, the routing of calls. Anybody have some experience to share on that?
And I'm going to pull up the... Sorry, this is Chris. I'll just answer the way we... Our philosophy with that is that the person who answers the phone, their job is to answer the phone. So, you know, our general guideline is, you know, you can spend 2-3 minutes or something talking to somebody, but eventually you want to free up, you know, the line for the next person who calls in, basically. Now that we have backups, it's a little bit less of an issue, but we do have issues where people, a second call will come in while someone's already on the phone, and even the backup's also on the phone, and a third call will come in. So, but, you know, it's really up to the individual. It's AA, you know, people kind of do things whatever way they want to do it. And it happens that way too. There's some volunteers that will do the entire process, including 12-step, and even like drive and pick someone up and take them to the meeting. But there's other ones that'll just answer the phone, and if it gets complicated, they'll hand it off to a 12-step volunteer. I think most folks fall into the second category, and that's the general guidance that we give our volunteers.
Yeah, I'll address that as well. Again, this is Ray, alcoholic. I guess the best way I can explain the way our philosophy in Rockland is that the person answering the phone is conducting triage. That the directions are 5 minutes or less. Find out how can you best serve the caller. Do they just need a meeting, a location? Do they need to have a lengthy explanation, a conversation about getting into AA, or do they need an immediate 12-step call? Do they need detox, that kind of thing? Find out how best to serve them, and then hand off the call to the appropriate, however they make that decision, whether it's, okay, I'm going to have somebody call you back in 5 or 10 minutes and go find somebody to go 12-step them, or have somebody call them back with another phone call just to have that conversation where they can have the lengthy explanation of this is what AA is and this is how we can help you and this is what you need to do. Yeah.
Awesome. Any other thoughts? Any other input?
Chris, alcoholic from Sebia. I have an answer to one of the questions you asked me. Our Comcast VoiceEdge costs $346 a month for the five lines that can forward to the five different shifts.
I'm sorry, how much is that?
$346.
And I think we heard a couple different prices there, and you can go real cheap. And you can also get a salesperson, like the Vonage experience, you know, I think is a great example of, we can do it super cheap, you know, sure, here's all the things we can do. And of course, we're going to hold your hand through the whole changeover, and then they're really not there. Or just being the AAs that we are, we don't ask for that help, you know. So the price being high might come with a lot of good service, you know. When I'd love to know the answer to who actually did the setup, because one of the things we considered was bringing in a private company, bringing in an outside phone system setup company to actually set up the structure of this whole thing. You know, that would have cost some money up front, but it would have come out better in the end because they would have known what they were doing, setting up a structure of how you get these phones answered. We're not the first people to do this, so. But then you get something like what you're talking about that seems cheap and simple, web phones. So, yeah. Anyone else?
Jeff, alcoholic, Greater Grand Rapids area. Our office manager works 1 to 5 every day, Monday through Friday. We have a volunteer that works 7 to noon, then noon to 5. And when I say every day, I mean probably 2 days a week. We actually have phone support. So when nobody's in the office, we actually, it's all going to the phone service. We pay a flat rate. I don't know what the cost is for the actual phone service. And then if they have to call anybody on the 12-step list, every time they make a call, it's, say, 50 cents a call for them to call somebody on the 12-step list. There's 30 people on that list. They make the first call, somebody answers, great. Most of the time it's the 10th, the 15th, the 20th down the list. These charges start to add up. There's some different options I can think of. I'm there here from the webmaster standpoint. I've worked in IT for quite a while, but it's not my area of expertise. Our committee is very small. I guess from my side, how would I even question or bring this up to the committee? Of, hey, let's look at our phone service and look at different options.
Yeah, how'd you do it? How'd you bring it up to your... Yeah,
I got it. My name is Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. I got a little pushback, mostly because most people were worried about getting the system set up. and then it being too unwieldy for the next person that comes in. And I said, if you can operate a web browser, you can pretty much do this. It's not that difficult. It should be something we can pass on. I think the vote amongst our committee, which is about 20 people, was 18-1. And then once we had the committee set up, or once we got the approval for doing it this way, then we set up a subcommittee, and the subcommittee did what they had to do. Otherwise, it's a nightmare trying to ask everybody their opinion and what they're going to do. We set it up, we started using it, and so February rolls, and everything was working. Then they assigned the 12-step call manager instead of me doing it. At first, I was just doing it because I knew how the system worked. Then I showed him how the system worked. And like I said, he's a Luddite, so he does use a phone, and he does text me his little graphical images of his happy man when he's doing stuff. So he knows a little bit, but he's not, I wouldn't say he's a techie guy, definitely not a techie guy. So anyway, so I handed it off to him, and then he's been reporting how successful. We got stats on how many phone calls we fielded, how many were answered, how many didn't go answered. Most of the ones that don't go answered, in fact, I would probably say 99.9% of the ones that didn't get answered were spammers calling us. You can set up the system to text people. They can send a text to that phone. We don't turn that on because we don't want the spam texters hitting us with that. We figure if an alcoholic can text, he can also call. So we're just not ready to handle that stuff. So.
I have an answer to your question. Luckily, our office manager is very well connected herself and answers texts quickly. She said that Comcast came in and explained it all first to a few of our tech people, and then a Comcast technician came in, set it all up. We had to have all new phones, and it took a full day to get all 8 phones in the office, which are all the phones we all use, to work correctly. So there you have it. I can find out.
I had a quick question for Chris. I was just curious. You said you had your 12-step list online. Did you get any pushback from people as far as like breaking anonymity, or that it would be too easy to scrape those numbers and have that list online? Because I've gotten that from, I want to take the binders and make them digital, and I get pushback.
Well, in our case, this is Chris again. There's one person who was opposed to that, and their primary issue was having their full name listed. So we just removed full last names and put only the last initials on the shared information, and they were okay with it. So that was that. I think maybe one way to handle that would be to allow them to opt in to the, say this is going to really help us to make sure that we, get someone on the line much easier. And then have people opt in to go with the online list. Probably, I don't know, I'd expect there wouldn't be a whole lot of people opposed. So, just a thought.
And this is Alex. And I can say that our Bridging the Gap list is stored in a Google Sheet within our G Suite. So it is private. It's not able to be scraped. Without a doubt, nobody could scrape it. But it's behind a login. And while we'd love to give each phone volunteer a login and a Google Voice number and all that, just getting people to log in is a pain. So the desk account is just always logged in on the desk computers. And so nobody's really even logging in. It's just there on that computer. So it's digital, but it's not public. Yeah. Is that basically the same? Yeah, and Chris is the same. It's not like on a website. It's in your... Is it in a G Suite?
Yes, it's in G Suite basically, and then it's private in the sense that you have to have this really long, complicated link to access it. So it's not like on a, if you Googled it or something, it wouldn't show up on a search engine. You have to have essentially this long key to access it. So we send out a link every month to the volunteers that allows them to access the documents. And one of the things, this is relatively new, I've only been doing this for 9 months. One of the things we've decided to do as like a best practice is like every year change that link. So basically you'd have access for about a year and then you'd lose it.
Once a year,
yeah, a new link. So you have to have the link to access the data. So it's not publicly accessible. Thanks for clarifying that. I missed it.
And also, I'll say that the opt-in, what you mentioned, opt-in is super important. We have a list that was, you know, file cards, and there are people in there who are deceased, you know. So there's really no point in copying all those phone numbers into this Google Sheet. So what we did is we sent out an email to all these subscribed volunteers who were like, yeah, I'll do the service, but we hadn't said to them yet, we're going to put you into this list. And they had to actually click a button. They had to make a positive action to be included. And I think of the 410 did the positive action and clicked through the first round. People went around and tugged on ears and tapped on shoulders to get up to, I think we're about 40 now, people on that specific list. But getting people to opt in to a new thing is often difficult. So heads up for that hurdle as well. But opt in is super important, especially, you know, communications laws these days, to send someone a text that they specifically did not ask for in some jurisdictions is kind of illegal. I mean, you know, it's the spam laws that are coming up and people want to prevent that. So you just got to be aware of, and it was on one of the slides earlier today, opt in and easy opt out. You know, hard opt in, easy opt out. Any other people want to share their experience here? How are we doing on time? 8:32. Yeah.
I got something to add.
Oh, we got a...
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Kevin. I am the PICPC for District 17 and Area 24, which is the far northwest corner of Iowa. And so, and the reason I bring that up is because it's a very remote area in a very remote state. In fact, there's a new title I have now. I am also the webmaster. I'm the first webmaster we've ever had in that district because I created the website for us for our meeting list. So we're getting there. But prior to that website being there, you know, we had the meeting cards that went around, and there was a phone number for an Alano club within our district, and you call that phone number, and it rings and rings and rings, goes to voicemail and says the voicemail is full. And I found that out after I'd been there for a while. Found out the local telephone company set that up for them, and we'll say Frank is his name. Frank's the only guy that knows how to check that voicemail. Well, Frank died like 10 months ago, so nobody knows how to do anything for that. You know, you can't delete the messages, can't clear it out. I mean, you probably call a local telephone company and get that fixed, but that's it. That's all we've got. So I'm told there's another group in the area that has some sort of answering service. I just Googled it while we were sitting here, and I called that number, and it just rang. It didn't do anything. So that's what we have now. So that's why I'm in this room tonight, is because I'm wanting to hear what else we can do, and I'm really glad someone asked, how do I bring this up when I get back? Because it's definitely something that I think we should bring up. You know, I know how I brought it up when we got the website, and it went through pretty easily. It just had never existed before because we didn't have anybody savvy enough to put it together. So I think I'm savvy enough to put a phone system together, and web phone sounds great. So thanks for sharing. Yes. Question for me, or? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. That's a great story. One thing I wanted to, the gentleman who asked about Google Voice, he's left. One of the things I wanted to mention about that just came to mind is if you install the app on your phone, you can receive phone calls, and I think you can install it on as many phones as you want. So if you've got just, it's free. So if you don't have a whole lot of volunteers, that's an option. If you install Google Voice on your phone, all the phones of your volunteers, then they'll all ring whenever someone calls that number, and also they'll receive texts, and they can send texts too. And it's free. So that's an option, I think, if it's small enough.
Bob here again.
I just got done talking to the one of the developers on the web phones thing, and he says he'll help anybody that needs help getting into the system, if you want to ask questions, that kind of thing. He's going to give me a link for a code for NAATW, and then and then if you guys need any help, if anybody decides they want it and they just buy it or whatever, or they decide to go with it and you need an AA guy to help, I'm here. I'm technically savvy. I'm an IT director, so I know what I'm doing, mostly. Oh, yeah. I can give you one that's not my hopeful name. So bob@bigcircle.com. Yeah.
All right, we're at 8:36, so we've got about 10 minutes before the next presentation. Is there anyone else that wants to share or ask a question or anything? All right, thank you very much for attending. I can list off